Well, we're continuing in our teaching. We're talking about the Spirit-led life. We had scriptures that we were opening with and really are the foundation of where the areas we're teaching. And I talked about the fact that these scriptures kept going over me, and the scriptures in Romans 8. The Lord kept speaking this to me one morning. It kept coming up in my spirit. The Spirit in Romans 8:16, which says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then he would follow up with 14. So he was actually doing it in reverse. It said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we also use in Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of the heart. The King James says the belly really is dealing with the heart of man, or the spirit of man. God deals with man through his spirit. And we're talking especially about man. We've been teaching on man being a spirit being. Last week we looked into Romans, the 7th chapter and the 8th chapter, looking at what the scripture says about us as Christians and what we are. We need to understand this. You can't be led by God any other way than through your spirit. It's how he leads us. Now, we understand this. We have the Word of God written on pages, but we need to understand, even though you have the Word, you need to have the Spirit too. God wouldn't have given us the Spirit if all you needed was the Bible. What was the point of it? What was the point of the Holy Spirit if the Word was enough? There's one thing, as I've found out, especially over the years in life and in ministry, is many times, like I could look at the Scripture. Use an example, like in the areas of healing. You could look at many different, the Bible teaches numbers of different ways that people were healed. So you could do different ways of ministering healing to people. There's not just one way to minister healing to somebody. There's numbers of ways that the Bible teaches you could minister healing. But even though you know, does it mean that that's the direction that you want to take, a direction that you need to learn to listen to your spirit? I've had over times of years, in one instance I had a man, this was at a full gospel businessman's meeting, and at that time I was the president of the chapter, but during the meeting, after the speaker and stuff was done and things, and they had some ministry going, all of a sudden I got this sensation within me, a chest pain, not like a heart attack, it was like a physical pain, like, you know, somebody would hit you or something really hard, or something happened in your chest or something. And man, I had just pain. It's like, and I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on? Well, I got this pain, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, this isn't me. Now, God didn't say anything at that time. I thought, there's somebody here that's really in pain. So I got up, and some of the other guys were ministering to people in the front. They were doing that. I had been, you know, had other people ministering. So I got up and said, is there somebody right now that you're having really severe chest pain? And this guy raised his hand, and I said, come on up. And it turns out he's a farmer. He had just gotten kicked by a cow. And I don't know if you've ever, I've been around cattle growing up. Cows kick you, you know it. And this cow kicked him in the chest. And he was really in bad pain. And he came up. Now, wouldn't you think God wanted me to start praying for him for healing? Wouldn't you think that? You just think that would be the thing that you do. See, this is where I learned to be led by the Spirit. So he came up, and he was standing there in front of me. In fact, there was one of the other guys in the group with his and his wife were ministering a person. They were done. They were standing there, and I just had told him to come over. We're going to minister to this guy, and he came. Him and his wife come over, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay hands. So I put my hand up to lay hands on him, and I put my hand on him. And I'm going to pray. I start to pray for healing, and it's just like inside of me is, don't do that. And the anointing lifted off of me. And I thought, well, what's going on? So I took my hand back. So I started again, and it did it again. And I thought, what's going on? And the whole time down here on the inside, I had this down here. It wasn't a voice or anything. It just kept coming up inside of me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, well, that can't be. This guy, God, I had this supernatural manifestation. God wants to minister healing to him. See, God had something else in mind. So finally, I gave up on what I was planning on doing because I realized the anointing wasn't going to stay on me if I kept going that way. So I just said to him, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, do you want to? He said, yeah. And I just reached over and touched him. He started talking in tongues immediately, and he got healed instantly. You see, you're going to learn to be led by the Spirit. This is why many times things don't work. People just go follow You know, we got this thing, you know, this prayer life that has pray for this in the morning, pray for that, pray for that. We get all of our love, and we don't ever listen on the inside. See, you don't need the Holy Ghost if that's what you're going to do. You have no need of Him. See, God's just like me. You know, it's sort of like the Lord wanted to kill, you know, two birds with one stone. You know, He wanted to heal him, get him filled with the Holy Ghost. And it worked. It worked just fine. And so I've had numbers of occasions like that at times that things have happened where I thought things were certain, even my personal life. I thought certain things, certain ways. And God, I just kept coming, do something else. Did the other thing and I took care of that problem. It's like, who would have thought? But see, God had the idea. What would have happened if I had just went my own direction? See, and this is why we need to be learned and led by the Spirit. Number one, being led by the Spirit, you can't be led by the Spirit unless you are known and convinced of yourself and can understand your own human spirit. That's where God's going to lead you, in your spirit. He's not going to lead you in your mind. He don't lead you by your mind. He doesn't lead by intellect. He doesn't need, move by natural feelings or your senses or your emotions or anything like that. He's not moved by that. That's not what moved. That doesn't mean God can move on you and you might have an emotional experience from that or something. But it isn't emotions. Maybe we might have an emotion or a feeling or something, but that doesn't what makes God move. We've got to get this stuff clear in our minds. God moves by our spirit. In the inside, and you need to become convinced of that, of being a spirit being in your spirit. And Philippians, the first chapter, I'm going to read some. We're going to go through some scriptures here today because the Lord kept emphasizing me to go over this and over this concerning us being spirit beings. There's a lot of this has been lost over time in teaching. This stuff has been lost. The church has followed so many things, especially in these areas. One of the things that I found this out, we would have not had near what we've had with this COVID stuff and everything going on if the church would have understood being led by the Spirit. The body of Christ would not have had going on what went on. They didn't follow God. Because they didn't understand spiritually what was happening. They didn't know what God was doing. They're telling God what they want Him to do. And God can look into the earth and sees more about what needs done than we do. Amen. And man has all his ideas and all his things. I mean, we can sit down and, I mean, from COVID to the presidency, we've had thousands and thousands of false prophets. Who have said all kinds of things and none of it came to pass. What went wrong? People were saying, and I mean, I heard ministers say, I know God told me, and I know God, yeah. Well, it didn't come out. What do you mean, you know God? Is God a liar? You know, let God be true and every man a liar. No, today, God can lie. This many of the prophets ministry and ministers try to back this stuff up. You know? I was just talking to a minister friend of mine and there was a prophet made a prophecy that was actually really wrong, just blatantly wrong. And so a remark was made about it and the pastor's wife of this church said, you know, the prophet's never wrong. You know, God said that and he had a purpose in that. Hold it. The Bible says this, if a prophet says something that turns out it don't happen, he's a false prophet. That I can show you the scriptures. See, we don't have that today in the church. There's no judgment in the church. There's no, and I'm talking about judgment, there's no discretion among people. People can't choose between, you know, a square and something that's round. They don't even know no more. I mean, it's just absolutely stupid. Ignorance gone to seed. And I know this, I said to the guy, said to me, I said, I can know you, I'll tell you this right out right now. I'll guarantee you that pastor's wife has prophesied numbers of things that never happened and she's covering for herself. No, if you're wrong, you're wrong. You just get over it. Everybody has missed it at times, but you will not quit missing it if you keep covering for yourself. The devil will keep running you. An unrepentant liar doesn't get to be an honest person. That never happens. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. You miss it, just, hey, I ain't got against anybody missing it. But how much, I heard a million prophecies, but I didn't hear one repentance. I didn't hear one say, hey, you know, we blew that, we missed that. No, let's just go on and have another prophecy. I mean, it just, it is so insane. And what do we expect of the world when the church is nuts? What do we expect out of the world? Can't expect much out of them. Hallelujah. Well, in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 23 says, this is what Paul said, I'm hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul's talking about being in the earth here, being in the flesh. In other words, he said, I want to depart. The real me, I want to depart. He didn't say, my flesh wants to go. He said, I. So he's getting on this side. Your flesh, and then he says the flesh, but for your sake, in the earth, if your spirit leaves your body, and your body, if your body dies, say your body dies and you can't stay here in the earth. That's why we don't have any people in the earth, people's spirits in the earth here running around other than ones that are in bodies. That's all we got. This whole idea, they got these shows on TV and, oh, this is so-and-so, he died and they're still in the house. No, that demon that lived with him is still in the house. Those demons, those familiar spirits are operating because Paul said when his body, he wants to leave to be with Christ, how do you do it? The body dies, you got to leave the body. But he said, to be here with you, I'm going to stay in the flesh. I got to be in my spirit. The real me has to live in this house to be in the earth. It has to be in this house. See, we need to understand this kind of stuff. We have all these things today. People talk about spirits and stuff and things like that. I know with dealing with, I was involved in sorcery and stuff. I just can't believe how dumb Christians are. You know, and people in the world understand more about how demonic stuff works than the Christians do. It's just, it amazes me. It just, and yet the Bible tells us, but we didn't read the Bible and found out more about it than the church knows about it. It just, it cracks me up. I just like, the Bible explains to us about spirits and that stuff. See, when you die, you're going to heaven. You ain't staying around here. Those people up there are not, you know, watching over you down here, take care of you. That's God and the Holy Spirit's job. Grandma and somebody's cousin, and so they ain't looking over you to help you down here. That's not what they do. Why? You know, you got God the Holy Spirit. What on earth would you need Granny for? She ain't God. Dear Lord, Granny, sit back and relax and let God do His thing. Granny, help me. God, help me. Gee, which one would I want? Let me think about that. That's really a... But see, people, hey, loads of Christians have these beliefs. You know, well, I know they're looking up down there and smiling down at me. Are you sure at that? They've been watching your life and they're smiling? They have no concern about your stuff naturally. They don't care if you get a new, they're not like smiling you got a new house or a new car. They could care less. They have zero interest in that. Zero interest. Heaven has no interest in that. That's the things of needful here. When you leave here, you have no needfulness of those things. There's only one thing heaven is interested in humanity and earth. That's who's saved. You see, if God had this great interest in everything we had this earth, you would need faith to believe to get the stuff you got. He'd just give it to you if he's so interested. No, he makes you believe. This is up to you to get this stuff. It's up to you to believe for these things. It's up for you to believe for him to move. Why? Because we have the authority. Now we get on all this religious junk. You know, my mom and dad are in heaven, you know what? And they don't have a bit of authority down here anymore because they left their body. Because your body is your badge of authority. Paul said he has to stay in a body to be able to operate here. See, we need to get into these ideas of who we really are where the body becomes such an important part. Paul said, it's better if I left. Man, I'm thinking like Paul is. I think it's better if you leave. You know, when I die, it's going to be better. It ain't going to be worse. Oh, you know, people cry their eyes out. It ain't going to be crying his eyes out. It ain't going to be upset. I'm going to be up in heaven with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to be in perfection. And I don't care how much he cried down here. I ain't coming back. God will have to force me if he wanted me to. See, most Christians ain't had enough trouble yet to want to leave. They need to have worse lives or something. I don't know. But even at the best, I don't care how good, you know, I have a good life here. But I'm convinced about the book. I'm convinced. I just, you know, I'm going to tell you what. This is one of the reasons why Christians don't have as many spiritual experiences. Because their lack of love of the spirit realm. They love the flesh. They love this side too much. See, I've always been wanting to touch from when I was a little kid. I've always wanted to touch into the realm of the spirit. I always knew there was a spirit realm. I went to a church that didn't know much about anything about it. Ended up getting involved in sorcery because they believed in a spirit realm. And I was really disappointed when I came to church realm and wondered what on earth do they believe in, you know? They talk about God and the spirit realm. They talk about heaven, but it's not a reality. The spirit realm has become a reality to you. You being a spirit realm, you're not going to have God's contact till you really know what you are. Till you're convinced of who you are. Spirituality isn't something that the world has. God can only consider people being spiritual who are born of Him. The world doesn't. The world tries to contact the spirit realm through fleshly things. That's what they do. When we were in sorcery, it was all about, we contacted the spirit realm. It was about just doing fleshly stuff to change things here. That's what most Christians are trying to do today with their faith. That's all they do. It's about everything here. They don't really understand about touching the spirit realm. They don't understand about what they really are. The fact, I mean, think about it. You know, you and God are one. Your flesh and God ain't one. Look in the mirror. Oh, dear God. See, we're trying to become perfect in the flesh instead of walking in perfection of the spirit. The emphasis is all on the natural side. The emphasis today, you know, the church gets over in the political side of things. The emphasis is to the natural. We're going to change it. We get the right politics. You know, well, the church in China does really well and are very spiritual and they're persecuted. American church can only believe as far as our government goes, and then they talk about God. It's like, I think, oh man, forget it. See, we got it. But why? Because they don't know they're spiritual. They don't know it. Natural is going to make us really live a good life. The natural is. It's the spiritual. Paul understood that. Paul said, you know, I'm going to stay here to help you guys. I'm going to stay in this body, but I'd really like to go. Hallelujah. So there's nothing wrong. See, people are criticized today who want to leave. Ministry, all these people that got, you know, this leaving mentality. You better get one. Jesus is coming. We're leaving. I think some of these ministers are going to stay here. They love the world. And they love the things of the world. You know, tell you what, fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 1 says this. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. And this is one of the scriptures that I've always liked in this area. I've always liked how Paul expressed this. Paul made the statement, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed." Like he said, "my earthly house," and then he clarified it, what this earthly house, he called it a tent. You know what a tent is? It's a temporary shelter. How many of you live in a tent all year round? You really want to live in a tent. You say, I can't wait till this winter to get out my tent. In other words, Paul identified the fact that this house that he lives in is a temporary dwelling place. Ha! It's a temporary. This is one of the things that we need to know is faith concerning the spirit quickening and making alive our bodies, because we want to keep this temporary thing running good. You don't want this temporary thing throwing you out of it, and it will. There's people who die prematurely, and what happens? Their body throws them out because their body gets to the point the spirit can't live in it anymore. And it dies. See, I want to keep my body till I'm done completing the work of Jesus in my life, and I want to leave. Amen. I wanted to leave years ago, and the Lord said, no, stop that. He said, you're not done, there's things you have to do. So I decided, okay, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to stay any longer till I'm done doing what I have to do. These people want to say, I want to stay down here. Oh man, I want to live till I'm 150. Well, go ahead, have a big time. I'll be up shouting with Jesus. So when I'm done doing my job, I want to go. I want to go to reward. I mean, do you want to retire and they keep your retirement? I mean, hey, I got a heavenly retirement come that I have been laying down treasures in. Amen. I want to go to that retirement. Everybody else is this natural retirement. It's the biggie. That's the big thing today. Oh, my words. Oh, the stock market going down. I forget what that worldwide. There was like $8 trillion or something was lost. And they said, oh, what about all these people's retirement? Oh, my God, we might have to trust God. What an awful thing is going to happen. Is this ever terrible or what? Oh, my 401k. Ah! Don't you know I have a fixed income? Yes, you fixed it. And this is what happens to fixed incomes. See, I won't ever give money to somebody that's on a fixed income. They say they have a fixed income. If I gave them money, that'd take them off a fixed income, but they want a fixed income. They say, no, you got to stick with just what you got. That's what you're confessing. I don't want to mess your faith up. We want to keep you on the fixed income. Hallelujah. See, this is why people don't like getting old. Because you can't trust God unless you have a job and working. And when you retire, man, people say, well, this getting old ain't good. Well, sure, it ain't going to be good. You have been planning for not having good. You've been planning that if you got old, life wasn't going to be good anymore. You weren't going to have the days. You know, hurry up. You got to do all this stuff when you're young because you get older, you can't do it anymore. I heard Christians tell me that. Still faith people. Yeah, well, I'm going to do all these things now because you get older, you can't do this stuff. And I said, you ain't going to have a pretty life getting older. Don't come and ask us to pray for you. It ain't going to work. We can't override your big mouth. You've been confessing for years. Saying for years. We got to do this stuff because getting old. Read the Bible. The Bible talks about really your older years are supposed to be blessed. Nah. You think that's true? Hallelujah. That's true. Amen. Glory to God. But there's this house that is this, it's just a tent. He said, we have a building. He said, from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. See, you're an eternal house. You are. The real you is an eternal house. The real you is the eternal house. It's the eternal. See, we need to, when you want to focus, why focus so much on the temporal? See, we focus on the focus is on the tent all the time. The tent, the tent, the tent, the tent, the tent. And yet we're eternal. We're eternal. Get that focus on you. I'm eternal. That's what I am. I'm, the real me is eternal. It don't matter about this. This house ain't going to live forever. It's not designed to. It's never, it wasn't, it's, sin did it in. That's it. It's done. Every seed that passes on in humanity produces a body that's death doomed. Every seed. There's not one seed that doesn't produce a body that isn't death doomed. That's what the seed of man always produces. It produces that. Every child is born with a death doomed body. But their spirit isn't. The real person. But see, the focus is all on the outer man, the outer man, the outer man, the outer man. See, this is one of the things of dealing with divine healing. That's why we don't see much divine healing today. Because people are focused on the outer man. Divine healing is not from the outer man. From the inside. It comes from the inner man. Your focus is what is on the inside, not what's out. It's the power on the inside. Same spirit raised Jesus from the dead's living me. Healing lives inside of me. I can't go to the doctor and have healing just because you go to the doctor. See, we take the physical side is the most important. See, we got to get over here with ourselves. Really, I have healing in me. I'm not trying to get healing. Healing abides in me. Amen. The spirit of Jesus that Jesus raised from the dead. There's enough power to raise me from the dead. Gee, you think it could heal me? See, and it's already in me. What? It isn't in my flesh. If it was in your flesh wouldn't be sick. It ain't in your flesh. The Holy Ghost quickens the mortal body through your spirit, not just up, you know, we're looking for it to happen, through our spirit. That's why our spirit, we act in faith. When we act in faith, then the Holy Spirit can bring to pass. See, the real you. And so we need to get this. Hallelujah. We're eternal beings. That's what we are. Every human being is an eternal being. But they're not eternal in the heavens. Only the born again are eternal in the heavens. We who receive Christ are eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. We talked about last week, we went into some things and we talked about also, because people, you know, make this statement that people talk about, well, you need to get saved to go to heaven. But does that mean little children who didn't get saved, they won't go to heaven? See, it's one of the things we talked about last week is the fact is in getting over there. Every child born into the earth, every human born into the earth is born with a spirit that's alive to God. The Bible tells us our spirits came from God. That's what it says. Did God give dead spirits? There are Christian in churches who preach everybody enters the earth with a dead spirit. Did God give a dead spirit? My spirit didn't come from the seed of my dad. My spirit came from God. My body came from the seed of my dad. But God gave the spirit. That spirit's alive to God. Amen. If a child dies prematurely before it reaches the age of accountability, that child will go to heaven because it's alive to God. Amen. And that's going to be a big wail in this earth when Jesus comes back, because every child on this earth, the children are going to leave. I wonder about some call themselves Christian for sure. I don't know if they know what on earth is going to happen when Jesus comes. I've got a clue. I heard so much squirrely stuff said anymore, such crazy thing. But all the children are going to leave. God ain't going to leave ones down here that are alive to Him. If He does, we're going to have a discussion when I get there. But He's not. See, we have a lot of strange stuff going on today and things that people are saying and people are doing, and they ought to take the time to read the Bible out sometime. Children, you know, I've seen this already even among children who have parents that ain't saved, don't go to church or anything. Those kids don't go to church. And there's things that those kids have come in contact with, and you find out there's things that they understand stuff. They couldn't have got it from a church. They couldn't have got it. Kenneth Hagin used to always tell the story about a little boy. He was something like 8 or 9 years old, and they told him he was going to be doing something. Now, his parents weren't saved. He had never been to church in his life. His parents never went to church. And this little boy, they said to him about they were going to do something the following week. And he said, no. He said, I'm going to be with Jesus. Well, they wondered what's going on. Where did he ever get this Jesus thing to begin with? And they just thought he's just getting a little weird, you know, and he didn't know. And you know what? Come next week, he had died before that time came. He said, he's going to be with Jesus. Well, how would he know such a thing? He's alive to God. That's why. See, my mom told me after I got born again, we had discussions about things, because when I was a little kid, God was real to me. And then I got older, then the church started teaching. See, when we were little kids in the church, Jesus was the good guy, and then Jesus got to be the bad guy. And the other, when we got up a little more in church, then Jesus, he got questionable. He started wondering about him. And, you got over among them, but when I was little, my mom said to me, she said, you used to talk about Jesus when you were little, just like you knew Him. Well, I did. I was alive to God. Amen. And my parents didn't realize they were born again, but I was more conscious of Him than they were. That my mom would say, you talk like you just really knew Him. And I realized when she's saying it, I'm talking, she didn't think, it was questionable to her, because she didn't know Jesus like that. And I'm talking like I really know Him. See, in our church, they didn't talk about you really know God. You just really don't know God. You know, you never know what God's going to do. That was the teaching. God was some fantasy out there somewhere. And see, there's one thing is, when I got born again, number one, it's the spirit realm. I was always drawn toward that. So becoming conscious of God, you know, I was born again for 1 month. And when I got Kenneth Hagin's series on tape, it was at that time, on how to be led by the Spirit. And you guys heard me say this so many times. And the Lord said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, He said, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Amen. And see, I've often wondered about Christianity, because we spend such little time in that area. We spend such little time. Yet He said that. If anything, the things that I'm teaching today, I have gone over so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I have listened to teaching on this so much. Why? My success is being able to hear on the inside, not being able to outside. Everybody else is spending all their educational time on the focus on the outward. It's focus on the inward. And let me just say this. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. Now, we'll get into this more, but I just feel led by the Spirit to go into this. The inward witness. We read a scripture I want to go back here and read it to us again. It says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, that's the number one way that God leads you, is by bearing witness, not a voice. You don't hear something said. Bearing witness with your spirit, it's more what I would say. Now, I use a term sometimes, I sense something. Now, I'm not talking about a physical sense. I just get a sense about something. They used to use the word, you know, you don't hear us used it much, maybe in some groups, is intuition. And in some groups, if you'd have said that in a church I went to, they'd have thought you were in witchcraft or something. But that's exactly what it is. You get an intuition within you. It's not a voice. It's not something that tells you. You don't hear a voice. I just get a sense. I have this operate in me all the time. I get a sense of things. Let's just say this yesterday. Yesterday, I had a ceiling fan in our bedroom. See, I learned to do things by your spirit, not just what you see happen. So this light's flickering, and I went up and tapped a light on the thing. This one light that's flickering, I thought maybe it has the filaments loose in it or something, and I tapped it. When I tapped it, all the lights went out on the thing. I thought, well, that's weird. I said, that was a good one. So I took the thing apart, and I saw down inside the parts it had in it. I was checking everything, and I tore everything apart to make sure all the connections were correct and that stuff, it wouldn't work. And there was this one part, these two little wires came out and connected into this little tiny white square thing. And I'm looking at that thing, and I didn't know what it was or what it was for. I knew what the other stuff was for. I thought, what's this thing do? But somehow on the inside, I thought, that's the problem. Now, I didn't know why. It just, in my spirit, was like, that's a problem. Somehow, I just knew it. And I thought, you know, I don't want to mess with it but that's a problem. But what do I do? What do you do to fix it? What is it? So, it just kept coming. So I looked, you know, I went online to look at some things to find out. I went to the company and what they want you to do. They want you to buy the whole wiring harness. You know, we want to sell you everything. You know, we want to sell you 47 parts you don't even need. So I'm looking down through, finally found a place, and the guy said, they try to sell you these wiring harnesses, and he said 90% of the time what went wrong is that little thing. And he said, here's what it was. It is a little thing in there that controls the voltage. The lights in the system can use no more than 120 watts. And this controls it. If you get more than 120 watts, it'll shut them off. It's a little thing. And when I read that, I said, that's easy. Got me a wire cutters, cut that thing out, took them wires and wired them together. Because the lights I have in it ain't that, you know, they're LEDs, you know. I could put 400 of them in there. And got it working again. But you know what? On the inside, I had an intuition that something, that was a problem. I didn't know why. But I found out. I thought, that was exactly right. See, your spirit. See, many times these are the things we bypass constantly. We go bypass these things. We just get an intuition. I could sit and tell you story after story of that intuition. You know, you guys heard me tell the one about, you know, when years ago when we were in a motorhome driving down to Rowan 81, driving down to Disney, heading down to Disney, driving. And inside of me, it just kept getting this intuition, slow down. It's just an intuition. There's no voice speaking to me. It's just this intuition inside, slow down. See, that's slowing down, saved our lives. I got that, it was sort of just a nagging intuition. It was there. Even when I went and I slowed down some, and it came up, just, again, slow down. It's just in here, it was like, slow down. Just inside, it's not a voice, it's just, I have this thing, slow down, so I slow down more. And you're on an interstate highway, and you're driving slow, and everybody loves you. Right. They all think you're wonderful. That's like God spoke to me and told me. He said, I called you as a flagman on the road. I said, oh, gee, thanks. Everybody loves a flagman, don't they? Yeah, and they like the flagman out there. But let me say to this, this is the number one way God's going to lead you. It's not by some voice. It's not by some voice. The number one way the Holy Spirit is, you get an intuition. What we have is this. This is, see, one of the reasons why lots of times, and you've heard me say this many times, I will go to sleep and then I wake up during the night and there's things going on in my spirit. It isn't voices talking to me. I just sense things and I know things. See, you get quiet. We don't have a quiet set. I've watched people say this for the last 10 years or 15 years. I'm just so busy. And I know this. You're not going to be able to be led by your spirit. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to have to be able to get quiet. Because you can bypass those intuitions. It's easy to be noisy. There's not, hey, we're at work on a job. You need to be able to work a job. You can't always just listen on the inside and just hear something. But you need to have time that you can get quiet. We don't have quiet time today. Our phones eat up our lives. We got to sit and go with them all the time. We got, our mind is running 400 miles an hour looking through Facebook and this and that and the other thing. We're doing all these things. Keeping in contact with everybody that's not important. And who we need to important get a hold of, we have no clue who he is or what's going on. Now let me say this. You know, now this is, and please don't take, I ain't bragging about myself. But when the last election was and all these people have talked about this, I never had God tell me one time that Trump wasn't going to be president. But I knew by intuition on the inside he wasn't going to be. The Lord never spoke to me one time. The Lord only spoke to me after the election of why it turned out like it did. That's the only time he talked. I'd ask him questions before that. He was silent. Well, the reason he didn't say anything, because he knew I knew. I already have it inside of me. I already know this isn't going to turn out. Now, I can say this. The majority of ministers that I was around, all of even our ministers' fellowship, all of them thought Trump was going to be president. In fact, I was at one of the meetings, and one of the ministers who helps Randy Greer out, he went, I'll never forget this. He got up and he said, Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. And he said, we need to confess that. And he went through this thing, and everybody's saying, we went through. And now this is when it first started off. And I started going along to say that, but I thought in here it was like, we're going to, if we say this, it ain't going to happen because we say this. This ain't bringing it to pass. But I thought about this. See, I never went and said anything to anybody because I learned this over time. When everybody's running in a direction and you say that's wrong, they just stone you right there. You're just not spiritual now. I can say this truthfully. I didn't want run into one minister doing things that didn't think that Trump was going to be president. Didn't run into one. All of them didn't. I thought, Ed, I started thinking I was half nuts. I started thinking, what is wrong with me? They're telling me Trump's going to be president. And I'm like, and I kept thinking, I wish I could get that in me. I wish I could get, because every time I went to that way, it was like, in here wasn't right. And I was always think about what Kenneth Hagin, when Jesus talked to him about being led by the inward witness, said about, when you have a check inside of you, something don't right, don't bypass that. See, people do all the time. I've done it. And have been sorry for it. If I'd have all the times that people said to me, I thought something was going to happen. Well, what'd you do about it? Nothing. Just let it go. And I thought something. But all during election time, I'd ask God, what about this election? What about, I'd ask God. Voice was silent. Silent, silent, silent. The day after the election, I said to the Lord, see, this is the things that really grab me, you know, with God. It's because he would not say a word to me about this the whole time going on. He wouldn't say a word to me. I mean, I couldn't have said to anybody, God said to me, Trump isn't going to be president. That's my own spirit down there somehow's not going wrong with this. That intuition is the Holy Spirit, your spirit in there, your spirit's, it's not a voice. I couldn't say to somebody, God said, because God didn't say. I just had an intuition he wasn't. So, here I am, talking to God, the election came up, I said, Lord, how come it turned out the way that it did? What is going on? What's happening? And the Lord spoke to me, just as clear, just spoke to me about why Trump didn't make it. And it really had to do with the church world, because the church world focused on the election instead of God, and they got away from things, and he explained to me some things, and I said, yes, sir, I can see that. I can see what happened. See, God said, he told this to me. He said that Trump was a reprieve. And he said to me, go look up what a reprieve means. Well, see, Randall Greer, God had told him that he was, when he first got elected, that he was, God said, he's a reprieve to your nation, a reprieve. Well, see, most people do. See, God says words, and sometimes people think they know what they mean. It's a good idea to go find out what stuff means. People talk a lot today and don't have a clue the words are saying, what they mean. They think they know what they're saying, but they don't. And the Lord said to me about the reprieve. He said, go look up what a reprieve is. Because see, the Lord had spoken to me about him being a reprieve. What a reprieve is this. Is a guy goes, say he goes to court for a crime and he's found guilty. And he's sentenced. Whatever he's sentenced to the crime is, you know, if it'd be go to prison for 10 years, say 10 to 15 years or whatever, something like that. And a reprieve is they hold that judgment for a period of time. Now, they don't remove it. A reprieve is it's held to another time period. You see, all through the scriptures, we find God does this. Hezekiah came along. God said Israel was supposed to be judged because of the ones before him, the kings before him, living like hell is what they were doing. And God said, because he walked with him, he said the judgment was supposed to come, but because you walked right, I'm going to hold it off for a period of time. And he said, it won't come while you're alive. See, God's always been doing this reprieve thing. There's a judgment sent against America, folks. Get over, and it will be carried out. Nobody is going to stop it, but we can hold it in our time. Well, we're not. He was a reprieve, and he said, I held it back for a time, but he said the church didn't turn. He said the church staying on their own course. They're just doing their own things. They stay doing their same thing. That doesn't mean everybody, but the majority of the church is just on a course. It's crazy. I was talking to Todd Levin. He's telling me stories about stuff. There's insanity out here in the Spirit-filled churches. There are nutty fruitcakes. I have more confidence in the denominational churches than I do the Spirit-filled churches. They have, you know, people say, well, these denominations are going along with homosexuality. There is worse teaching in the Spirit-filled churches going on that people are believing. You know, they're over there believing the devil's going to be saved. I mean, there's insanity out here to no end in beliefs. In Spirit-filled churches, teaching things. It's like I'm thinking, I said to Todd, how could you stand it going to these churches and minister? You got to go to these places and you got to try to put something in these people who are, the ministers are all opposed to the Word of God. They're opposed to, they have all these beliefs in there. You can't bring any correction. Everybody wants petted and patted. Yeah, everything's cool. Everything's good. We're all going to go to heaven. Well, why would we worry about nuclear war? Let's all get killed and go to heaven. For the best thing that ever happened is blow the whole world up, wouldn't it? Why do we want to stay in this toilet when we can all go to heaven? What are we fighting to live for? I mean, the biggest liars, they live lies. They're nothing but liars who live lies. Their actions don't go in the direction they say they believe is true. Why would you fight to live if you could go to heaven and no matter what? It all don't matter. It's like, give me a break. See, there's a lot that's lost contact out here. But that's why I'm telling you, we need to get ourselves over to listening to our inner man, the eternal man. God is hooked up to this man. It's been lost in the church world. See, the fact you don't believe these nutty things, I mean, you're a minority. Understand this. Around you. I'm going to tell you what, you can go on the radio and listen to ministers talk and say things in this community that is going over the radio that I just can't believe some of the things they're saying. And these were churches, and they say, yeah, we believe in being saved. I don't know what from. I don't know what they get saved from because they're nutty. It's like, what Bible? What are these people doing? What has happened? The stuff that's entered in the church world. I mean, my God. I mean, when you sit down and look at it, you think, my God, you know, there's probably more stability in the Mennonite church than there is. At least a lot of them are staying on their stuff. But there's crazy out here going on. I mean, people have so changed their beliefs. I mean, they've turned them upside down. And it's one thing, you have to leave the Bible to do that. You can't stay in the Bible and believe those things. You can't do it. You have to leave the Bible. And I ain't leaving the Bible. We're staying with the Bible. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Fourth chapter, verse 16. Fourth chapter, Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inner man. Keep that within yourself. See, don't get a focus just about, see, success in this outer man is because of the inner man. The inner man's being renewed. There's no lessening of life. When you got born again, the inward man is renewed every day. He's not aging. He's eternal in God. Hallelujah. This heavenly body that we have that's on the inside, the outside, thank God, you know, we have the promise of getting a new one of those. But on the inside, you, the spirit being, you have life running in you. See, the real you is life. Amen. You know, let's put it, you know, maybe this way might make a little sense. See, you and I live in houses, don't we? We have in homes where some kind of, whether a person's in an apartment or whatever, they're living in a place. But you know, your place, if the inner man, if you're able to do good and earn money and have a living, you can fix up the house, can't you? Well, it's the same thing. If the inner man is thriving and going, he can fix up the outside. Do you understand that? See, everybody's tied to having the outside man doing the fixing up. The house is supposed to be doing the fixing up, and he don't. It's just like in a house. Does your house automatically take care of itself? No, I just have automatically things happening. You got to fix things and stuff happens and stuff. Things are wearing in this world, you know. Everything don't last forever. And you got to, you know, you fix things and you go up. Why? Because you got to fix that. You got to take care of that house. That's what you got to do. Well, is it the house that doesn't fix itself up? But see, that's what we're doing in Christianity. We're trying to have the house fix the house. Because we don't know who we are. We don't realize the power we have. Amen. You know, Christians say they're full of the Holy Ghost and they're praying for power. What on earth? God's living in me, but you're not enough. Could you send your cousin Harry? Maybe two other angels. Maybe that'll work out. I don't know. The power that's in us. Think about who you really are. Glory to God. You're being renewed every day. The life of God is renewed every day. Hallelujah. See, you get in the outside, you get over in the mental area. It's like Christians do. They'll start living over in the mental area. They'll look at all the imperfections of the outer man and what he does, and they start living by that. And after a while, they lose touch with the spirit, bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And they lose contact with that. And they want to say, I've done this and that, and this is all this is wrong. Maybe I'm not saved. That's the way it always happens. Always happens that way. People get into the mental realm, and they start thinking of the flesh, and they get over on that side, and they lose contact with their inner man. See, I'm a child of God, and that's it. There ain't no other way. I mean, that's just it. I know that I know that I'm a child of God. I mean, I know that I know. Is it? I feel so bad. So many Christians, they're not sure Jesus comes, whether they're going or left or where they're going, or whether they're moving to another country, or they don't know. They don't know what's going on. If Christians are asking, they wonder why, because they don't listen to the inner man. I don't need some preacher to tell me. I have never needed a preacher to tell me. All I knew is you listen and look on the inside. I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I know. I mean, I just, you know, I had a person tell me not long ago, all these things God was talking about that showed them, and then just turned around and said they didn't know if they were saved. God's talking to you and you ain't saved? Wake up! But see, when people operate out of their minds, you get over on things. You just get crazy. You get nutty in a fruitcake. No wonder people come up with all kind of different, you know, philosophies of Christianity. They're no more than philosophies. They're philosophies of men. And they come up through, they're trying to figure God out in their mind. Dear Lord, I gave that up a long time ago. How can a natural mind understand the eternal God? I mean, you can only understand Him through your spirit. That's the only way to comprehend. I can just tell you, there's loads of things that I see and I know that I cannot teach because of this. Because I don't know how to put it, I don't know how to explain it. It's hard to put it in anything in this side. It's hard to do. But see, the inner man knows it. And the inner man knows it's right. The inner man knows it's true. But how do you bring it to this side unless God can show you a way to do it? You can't do it. And see, there's things that you can't teach because people aren't spiritual enough to go there. And it isn't making any big deal about it. It's just the way it is in the natural. You know, that we ain't teaching first graders calculus, or it would be a stupid thing to try to do. You don't try to teach certain things because people have to come to a level to be ready to hear it. And you go there. And we need to understand that as we go along. I think about there's some people. I mean, when Kenneth Hagin said he knew things that he didn't teach because he said the church wasn't ready for it, and I'm sure I was one of them that wasn't ready for it. I'm sure. You know, you got to come to a place where you can see and understand things. But God has can reveal things to us. The outward man is perishing. The inward man. See, you want to go to the inner man because that's where the life of God is. That's where the power of God is in that inner man. That's going to bring the greatest effect we want to bring into the natural realm. It comes through the inner man. It don't come through the outer man. It doesn't come through there. You know, I might lay hands on somebody. The power of God might come, might be on me. And I mean, I may, from a standpoint, I can feel stuff. But it isn't because of the power in my body. It's what's going on in me. It's what's in me. That's what, and see, we need to get ourselves over in there where that becomes our reality, where that becomes, what we understand. Now, I want to read something to us here. We're going to, this, because John in his writing, in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, we're going to look here, Jesus talking about being born again. And I want us to get this. The Lord spoke to me about this yesterday, and I want to some things so you can understand what's going on. Because it's been used, you know, the church world uses these scriptures where Jesus talks about being born again. I don't know what all people believe about it today or not, but in Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, and this is the third chapter of the Gospel of John. It says in verse 6, it says this. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And he said, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So, we want to talk about this because people, Jesus said a person must become born again. Now we know this. People say, well, he was saying about being born from, Jesus said he was about being born from above. Well, Nicodemus didn't know that. Jesus said you must be born again, and Nicodemus knew he was talking about birth. There had to be a birth. He said you had to be born again. Now this is very interesting because I've learned this over the years concerning Jesus by the scriptural examples, but also in my own personal life, of the same thing that God does. The Lord will answer you many times according to what, how you ask or what you say. He'll answer you accordingly. Nicodemus' response was right away, instead of asking the Lord what he meant by that, he just threw it right out there. Well, how can a guy go into his mother's womb again? See, he went right over the natural. Jesus said, you got to be born again. Now, it's number one, Nicodemus, we know this is because Jesus had gone over and said to him. He said, "You're a, if you go on and read the thing, he said, you're a teacher. You're the leader of the Jews, a teacher, and you don't know this stuff. You don't know. See, he wasn't. See, the word of God wasn't spiritual to him. It's just physical laws. It's just physical rules. It's just physical stuff about the physical. See, we've been taught really, and many people today, the teaching of faith is taught just from the natural to get stuff." And the natural. Just, it's just about the natural and getting stuff the natural. We don't realize the spiritual significance of it. The things that could be changed and could be done to change things in the realm of the spirit. See, changing, we need to understand this. One of the things here in America, we need a great change in the realm of the spirit. Elections ain't gonna fix this thing, is what they're gonna have. Cause those same demons that have been dominating rule are gonna dominate and rule the guys who are gonna get in office. Already are. See, we need some spiritual changes. So he said that a person, now he's talking about a person, needs to be born again. There needs to be a rebirth. See, Jesus is talking spiritual. Nicodemus is natural. He's talking physical. You need to be born again. In other words, there needs to be a change. Jesus is talking about a spiritual change that must take place. Right now, in people's lives, messed up, people need a spiritual change. There's people who, today it's all about, well, if you just learn to just do things right, do things nice. No, if a person needs to get born again, or the devil's going to dominate. I mean, can't we see this in our nation today? I mean, demonic powers are dominating people left and right. If they don't get born again, if they don't change their spiritual nature, they're going to be driven more and more in that direction. Paul wrote Timothy and told him what the world's going to be like. They ain't going to get cuter. They're not going to get nicer about God. They're not. People need a spiritual change. That's number one. People need a spiritual change or it's not going to change. Now, we as Christians, we need to develop more spiritually. That would be helpful for us. We have, may have the spiritual change, but we need to grow spiritually, which is very helpful. A spiritual growth, not physical. It's not something, you know, it's like people talk about, well, you know, I heard people say something about, we ought to spend more time memorizing Scripture. I never memorize Scripture. You know? I never memorize Scripture. I've never bothered to do that. I preach how the things I preach. Scriptures and things come to me. I don't try to memorize them. My spirit neither slumbers nor sleep. And anything I ever read in the Bible, it remembers it. It knows it. Amen. It knows it. It knows it's there. It always amazes me as sometimes Scriptures come up out of me and I thought, man, I haven't thought about that Scripture in so darn long. And all of a sudden that Scripture will just come up. In the inside here, I just know it. It's like in here, that Scripture. It's like, wow. It didn't come out of my mind. Come out of the inner man. See, the inner man is renewed day by day. He's smart. There is no one born in the earth who has all of these maladies that they say today the kids have. They don't have that. Their spirit isn't. It's about the body. Their spirit's alive to God. They don't have all the real them doesn't have that. We see the manifestations through their body concerning their body and messed up maybe mind and their body and things, but their spirit ain't messed up. See, we look today, a person's really messed up. Well, what's messed up about them? I see Christians are just messed up as crazy on the outside. It's cause, and, but you know what? In the inside, they ain't messed up, but they never let the inside run. They all run to the outside. So the outside's full of mess up. But they're not messed up. They aren't. The real them, the real them's born of God, wants to follow God, wants to walk with God. My inner man never goes along with me living in sin. It never goes, it never wants to do that. I have to ignore it, or at least try to ignore it. I gotta try to ignore my conscience. Why? Your conscience bothers you. That's the voice of your own spirit. That is the inward witness saying, stop it, dummy. Don't do that. And the devil got in the church and preached grace that you're already forgiven. Don't listen to your conscience. Your conscience is a liar. That's the devil. Your conscience is the devil trying to make you feel bad. If you're sinning, you best feel bad. If you don't, it's good. If you don't feel bad, you're in bad trouble. If you can sin and it don't bother you, you're in bad trouble.
Amen. Preach.
Because the devil have access to you. He'll have access. You can sit and pray and ask God all you want. But you can't bypass. Paul said, I always obey my conscience. I always obey my conscience. See, we want to get to, we're losing it. We're just, all this grace, you don't have to. Because anything that doesn't make me feel good. See, this is feel good America. Anything that don't make me feel good and I'm not comfortable. That's not God. That's what preaching. That's what they've been preaching for the last 20 years. God wants you comfortable. If God wanted me comfortable, what in the heck's going on in our nation today if He wanted me comfortable? He's sure a mess, isn't he? This God that's in control, He has sure messed everything up. Hallelujah. I could, you know, I got comfort on the inside. My outer man, I don't know about him sometimes and stuff goes on. You know, he thinks crazy. But the inner man has no worries or fears. I didn't get a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But loads of Christians are fearful today. Why? They're living out of the flesh. As long as they live there, you can pray for them all you want. It don't change anything. What changes? Yeah, they got to come in contact with the inside. See, if you turn to the inside, you'll have peace. On the inside, you won't be afraid. You'll say, you know what? I know God's going to take care of me. It's all right. And your body's saying, I don't feel good about it. I don't like that. The inner man's saying, hey, it's okay. Relax, rest. trust the Lord. We're good. We're good. That's on the inside. See, there's peace on the inside. There's not unrest on the inside. Would you be renewed every day and you have an unrest on the inside? It's being renewed. What, is unrest being renewed? See, on the inside. That's why you want to walk by that inner man. Hallelujah. So Nicodemus is there. Nicodemus. Now, we have this statement made here, and people, and the Lord wanted me to clarify this, because there's a statement that Jesus made and said about being born again. He said this, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of things talked about there, born of water and the Spirit. And the church, you know, they say about what the water, the Spirit is, but what they say about water. There are some of the dumbest things I've ever heard preached in my life. Jesus is talking, and this, he's talking, Jesus has no discussion about the natural at all. This has nothing to do with the natural. This has nothing to do with physical birth in the earth. If it is, Jesus is an idiot. He told Nicodemus, well, if you want to get to heaven first, you got to exist. And then, because they say, well, see, if the water is talking about natural birth and the breaking of the water. That's the general things that's taught about this. Jesus talked about something spiritual. The water is, he's talking about something spiritual. Just like he used the term to be born again. And what did Nicodemus do? Nicodemus was, well, if he was a teacher in this thing, well, you gotta be, the water gotta break, then you gotta be stuffed back up in there again and be born. I said, well, how does that sound, folks? Ladies, well, how would you like that one? They might as well do it in the church world today, because I tell you, the crazy people get preached. He's not talking about physical water. Every one of us have been born of the water and the Spirit, and it is of necessity. You can't get born again any other way. Now, we have from the Old Testament, if you look at Ezekiel 36, and there's a couple times in Ezekiel things like that are mentioned, but I just want to show you this here, and then we'll show you the New Testament. But Ezekiel 30 and 36, 25 and through 27, I'm going to read. This is what Ezekiel prophesied to the coming about the new birth. This is what he prophesied. Listen to what he said in verse 25 of Ezekiel 36. He said, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put... See, we start off. He's going to clean us and give us a new spirit. He's going to what? Clean us. Give us a new spirit and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So he talks about the new birth here. See, he's talking the same thing. Jesus said, first of all, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you. I'm going to cleanse you. And see, we need to get... What's he talking about? I'm going to cleanse you. See, we have heard Jesus said you got to be born of the water and the Spirit. And here he makes mention. What? I'm going to cleanse you with clean water. Well, what does this water member say? Is this talking about physical water? Can you get born again by physical water? Has anything to do with it? No. No, there's people who do. They believe baptism, and they go, and there's the people who preach the baptism. You know, you got to be baptized, and you're going to get saved. You got to be baptized in water first, and then you get, that's when you get saved. And it's like, oh, well, they're out there like crazy too. But here's what Titus, listen to what Titus wrote and said. This is Titus in the New Testament. Titus 3. It's one of those places that we read a lot in there, Titus in the New Testament. Titus, the third chapter, says this. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration. Well, see, Jesus said this in Ephesians 5, 26. Jesus made this statement. Actually, the Apostle Paul speaking concerning what Jesus would say. He went and made a statement here. And this statement was directed, now he was talking about the husband and wife, but he used the fact that the husband and wife is an example of Christ in the church. And he said this about the church. In verse 26 in Ephesians 5, he said that he might, this is Jesus, he might sanctify and cleanse her. How? With the washing of the water by the word. See, the Word of God's the water. You couldn't have got saved without the Word of God. It's the Word. The Word is preached. Man becomes sanctified by the Word. He is sanctified by faith in the Word. You've got to come through faith. You come through the Word to Christ. You can't get born again without it. The Word is the washer. The Word is what washes. That's why he said, a person, what? You have the water and the new birth. The new birth came. You had to come by the Word of God to believe, and then you got the new birth. That's how you got it. Now we know from what was said back in Ezekiel, see, it's the whole thing. The new birth, we need to understand. We got sin removed so we could get born again. In other words, you got saved. In other words, you were washed and cleansed and believed the Word, which cleansed you, and then the Holy Spirit caused you to be born again. And what do we have? What happens? Does the new birth the church mostly preaches that the new birth is a wash job. That's all it is. They took you down to the Jesus' car wash, ran you through, now you're clean, but you're the same guy. Is it? See, it isn't that. No. Ezekiel had a better revelation than most of the church world does today. He had a revelation that old was going to be removed. The old heart is going to be taken out of you. You're going to get a brand new one. Because of your faith in the Word and the washing of the Word, you got a brand new heart. You're a brand new spirit. See, when somebody comes along and says, when the old man tries to rise up, a lot of people think about that spiritually. That's a lie. The old man can't. He's been removed. The real you is the child of God. That's the real you. You're the child of God. The real you. You can't bring up the other guy. He ain't around no more. He has been removed. The heart of stone is gone. The only thing that will try to come up is your flesh wants to go back to what it was doing before. Your flesh will want to, but not you. See, if the church doesn't understand these teachings, it becomes hard to understand how to follow the Spirit of God, because the church has just degraded itself. When it teaches you can sin and you don't have to forgive, that's all considered natural stuff. That's all this thing. Man loses who he is spiritually. You can't preach that trash and be spiritual. Because, see, you know, God had to forgive us all of everything and of all the time, because you know what? Our new birth was so squirrely and worthless, we can't stay out of a mess. The reason a church can't stay out of a mess, because they've been preached into the mess. They are preached failure. They are preached the new birth wasn't enough. You're just going to sin. They preach garbage and expect people to have success. You know? We're fighting the thing today about colleges and that stuff. People are wasting their time going to spend in college. Well, you're wasting your time in a lot of churches today. Because you're not going to get any spiritual education. You're going to get a lot of psychology. You got to feel good about yourself. I don't always feel good about myself. But this I do know. I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. God likes me in spite of me sometimes. This inner man is not moving away from God or trying to get away from God. This inner man, the real me, loves God. See, I remember when I was just a young Christian and I went through a thing, you know, you mess up in some stuff. And in fact, when I messed up really wasn't, I considered messing up, but God didn't at all. You know, sometimes we get, you know, religion will get you to believe you're doing wrong when you ain't even doing wrong. You'd be doing right. Religion's trying to mess you up. Anyhow, I got over in this thing, and I just thought, man, I messed up with God. And I mean, I really got down to where I was just, man, you know, God, because the Lord had talked to me about things He wanted to do in my life, and I just thought, how am I ever going to get there? But see, what I was doing, I'm over in the natural side. See, I'm trying to look at Ed in the natural and trying to achieve what God wants to do through my outer man. Well, I gave that up a long time ago, man. I'll tell you what, you don't ever get nowhere in that one. Because you're outer man. You can't succeed following the outer man. Now, if you can get the outer man to follow the inner man, you got something going. And this is the whole thing. But what I was doing was, I just got before the Lord, and I was a young Christian. I was laying on my bedroom floor with my face down on the floor. And I'm just like, oh God, you know, I've missed it. I've just done so many dumb things. the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, but he said some things to me, and at first I thought it was the devil, because I see, you know, because he ain't speaking like I'm thinking, see. He ain't speaking like religion. See, they do this all the time. Over the years I've heard ministers do this and say to their congregation, say it, use this scripture. Your heart's always to do evil. See, it's an Old Testament scripture. Now, there's a lot of good things in the Old Testament, but that wasn't taught. See, they weren't born again. The heart of man wasn't born again. You don't see nothing said like that in the New Testament. And these ministers say, well, your hearts always do evil. And I've said to people already, I've even said to ministers, someone, if your hearts always do evil, I said, you ain't saved. I said, ain't no way you're a Christian and your heart's always wanting to do evil, because you ain't got the salvation I got. My heart don't like me going to do evil. You see, your heart isn't always do evil. And the Lord began to speak to me about that. But finally, the Lord said to me, he made his statement, because it is based on, he said, you look. Now, and see, because I'm ignoring this, I'm thinking the devil's trying to get me to keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah, you know, you quit. Bail out. You ain't going to ever make it. And the Lord said to me, you love me with all your heart. And he said, look at your heart. See, he wanted me to get focused on the real me, and not this one that I'm talking about. See, I wasn't talking to him about the real me. I was talking to him about the outer man. See, most people go to prayer. That's exactly what they do. They bring their flesh and want to have a fleshly conversation with God. And sitting there talking to flesh, and God wants to talk to him in the spirit. God wants to talk about the real you. And they don't know who the real you is. All they know is themselves by the flesh. The Bible says this, New Testament, know no man after the flesh. The Lord had to tell me that. See, most people, most Christians only know themselves after the flesh. It's the only way they know them. You got to learn to know you after the Spirit. How you are spiritually. See, the Lord said, you love me with all your heart. Look at your heart. And you know, when I stopped and looked at my heart, I thought, I said, Lord, I do love you. I want to do whatever you want me to. That's what I'm after. That's what I want. I want you. And then he said to me, he said, quit judging yourself after the flesh. He said, I don't judge him. Then he reminded me what he told Samuel. When Samuel said, David's brother, the big good-looking guy, this got to be the guy. And what the Lord said to him, said, you know, you're looking after man's, you know, the appearance of man. He said, God looks after the heart. And that's what the Lord said. The Lord said, I look at you after your heart. Well, see, you don't even know how God looks at you if you don't know. If you can't be led by your spirit. Your spirit, you let the flesh rule, it'll lead you to condemnation. That's why they're trying to preach all this nonsense today, is trying to get people to feel better, because they don't even know how to get looking at their own spirit. They don't know who they really are. So they're trying to, through the natural, make themselves feel good. I don't have to make the inner man feel good. He feels fine. He likes God. Your inner man likes God. Your spirit likes God. It's born of God. It has His nature. Your spirit is drawn toward God. That's the norm. But people aren't saying those things. They're praying wrong things. They get before God and talk wrong stuff to God, talking more about their flesh than spiritual. We need to understand, talk to God from your heart. That's the prayers that will be answered. The rest of the stuff ain't worth spit. Talk to God from your heart. Talk to the God in that inner man who's after him. Say, Lord, outside may be stupid, but in here I'm after you. Lord, I want your best. Lord, without you, I can't bring the stupid stuff under. I got to get it through here. Oh, Lord, do this, do that. Well, if he did it, you'd be back in the mess tomorrow anyhow, because if you can't run by the inner man, the problem will come. The problem will just show up again. It won't stop. See, today we have the Band-Aid Church. That's all it is, a Band-Aid church. Put a psychological Band-Aid over a thing. Make you feel good for a while. So then you go home, and by the end of the week, you're like, man, I feel like I shot myself in the foot. Say, no, I love God tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. I'll tell you what, if I'm here 10 more years, I'll love Jesus more and more. The real me sold out on Jesus.
Amen.
That ain't changing. That ain't changing. Hallelujah. That's who he is. That's who you are. That's your nature. See, don't talk. The outer nature ain't the big thing. You want to bring the outer nature. See, I need to let the inner nature work on bring this outer nature under control. And see, you can't, it's fixable. Grace is big enough to do it. But we don't preach. We preach grace is all about getting away with sin and not, oh yeah, God's overlooking all the trouble. I'm not under the blood of Jesus. Jesus don't have to look through the blood to see it. He looks at me. We can look square in the face each other. We're going to see face to face. He ain't going to paint us in blood when we get to heaven so he can put up with us. Your real nature is like the nature of God. Hallelujah. How could you be some kind of lowlife and seated in heavenly places in night Christ Jesus? How could you sit at the throne of God? Everybody gets born again. I don't care who it is. I don't care how evil they were, how much wickedness. The instant they're saved, they're seated at the right hand of God. They're given authority, the same authority Jesus has, that Jesus gave to the church in here. They got it. And instantaneously born again. Don't know a thing about it, but they got it. They're an heir of God. The same heritage that Jesus had, the same heirship that Jesus had, has been given to them. Well, what about you sitting here today? What is it that you don't have? The only problem is what we don't know we already have. What already belongs to us. The inner man. See, there's a lot you'll find. Your inner man knows a lot more than your outer man does and your mind knows. And you need to let him reveal things. My inner man is much smarter than my outer man. He's much smarter. He can reveal things. And see, that's what you want to do. Revelation from God doesn't come. See, the Bible talks about, most people, our use of our mind, our physical mind, we determine how there's all kind of things that are going on and coming up in our minds. Everything going on. You have outward things going on, being said and done. Your mind, brain picks it up. So your brain will pick all kinds of stuff up, things. You have your own physical senses, where the touch, taste, smell, you see with your eyes, you hear with your ears, you talk with your own mouth. Your brain's picking up all those kind of things. But the Bible talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You need to get your mind renewed by your spirit. The church world today is trying to renew the mind through the outward. That ain't how you renew your mind. You get the word of God inside of here, and that's where revelation comes. That's where revelation comes up in you, is on the inside. And people struggle trying to get a sermon. I don't try to get sermons. Sermons come up out of me. My God, there's more sermons in me than you shake a stick at. There are just sermons in there. But you got to know which one you got to pray. Boy, there's a bunch of stuff I think it has, but I'd like to get over and teach you this. The Holy Spirit, now do this. This. But see, they're in there. It's in you. In you is more stuff going on from God. And you come in contact, it is the easiest thing in the world. Once you know who you are, get it on your own voice. Use your confession for something decent other than just, hey, it doesn't matter. We can confess for stuff on the outside, but we should use it more from a spiritual standpoint concerning ourselves. See, I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. My spirit. See, talk about yourself. I'm a spirit being. That's who I am. I am a spirit. You need to say those things. If you don't say those things to yourself, I don't care how much you think them, there nothing comes to birth that's thought unless it's said. Your inner man wants to say these things. He wants to take dominance over the outer man. And he can't as long as we're silent. He can't. Can't take dominance. Faith. Jesus said, you say to this mountain, be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. You believe it's going to come to pass. You're going to have what you say. It's just, if you want to be spirit controlled and led by it, start talking. Start talking. We read last week, we found out that we're in the Spirit of Christ is in us. And people say, I'm just trying to get in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. Now, what it needs to come in contact with it. And I do that, number one, by my voice. Start saying the right things. Start talking about, I am led by the Spirit of God. Well, I don't feel like I am. Well, shut up with I feel like. And get over and start saying the right stuff. Your feel likes are what's your problem. We'll confess a feel like in 2 seconds. And what the Bible says, it takes us 10 years to get it strangled out of us. To say what the Bible says. Say what the Bible says. Hallelujah. See, I've learned this. I ask God about something. I always say this. I don't care if it doesn't seem like it's God. I just say, He'll show me. He'll speak to me. He'll show it to me. He'll reveal it to me. Praise God. I'll pick it up in my spirit. I'll pick it up. I'll get it. See, I've talked about the Lord leading me and speaking to me and stuff. I've said this stuff so much over the years concerning myself. You know what? I don't find the struggle that I see people just struggle with. I thought, man, you got to get on to it. But I realize it's about the voice. It's not what people are talking. We're not talking about being spiritual. We're talking about our carnality. We're preaching grace that's all about sin. Instead of preaching, I ain't going to get saved. I'm already saved. Grace already saved me. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm born of God. God's in me. God's revealing stuff. He speaks to me. I hear Jesus said, we're going to hear our shepherd's voice in another one we ain't going to listen to. And what the church pray? Well, you're just going to sin. You're just going to listen to the devil. Jesus lied about that thing. No, I'm sorry. I hear my shepherd. Hallelujah. I know his voice. I'll tell you, there's times I didn't think I had a clue what his voice, but I would not say another thing. I know his voice. He guides me and directs me. He leads me. I'm led of the Spirit of God. Glory to God. So you got to get over and say the right things. And people are not saying, we're having this psychological teaching today, trying to feel good. I'll tell you what, my mouth will either bum me out or put me over. I don't care what you say about it. See, you can go to these classes they have and they do all that. You can listen to all you want to that stuff. When you get out of the class, you're no better unless you're saying it. If you ain't saying that, he can't. Why? This is today. This is why we have all this stuff today. You got to keep going back for therapy. To hear the guy tell you the right things, but you go home and talk like a nut. And then say, go back. Say things that'll fix me. Well, he couldn't fix you for nothing. Because he can't get you to shut up. See, we need to know that. You get to be the one who's, like I said, you got to be your own best cheerleader. When you're in the dumps, that's when you got to be your cheerleader. That's when, hey, when the score looks like the devil got 50 points and you got 2. That's when you got to stand out there and you get to put your little skirt and pom-poms on and you get out there and rah, 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 it's a win in this game. That's what you got to do. If you don't, You can't be preached to it. You got to do it. You got to come to the place that you're going to do what's said. No matter what's said to you, you're going to have to do that. Teaching is of no value unless it's done. See, I have this wonderful benefit because, see, I study this stuff all week and I talk it all week and then I get to talk it again. And I get to say all these wonderful things about me, about who I am. And the devil said, you're lying. You're lying. No, this is what the Bible said. The Bible says what I am. I'm going to talk about the real me. The real me. Jesus ain't a liar. When he talked about the real you, he wasn't lying. Jesus said, his sheep hear his voice. Did he lie or tell the truth? So you should never be talking any other stuff. People say, well, I just don't know what God wants you. I just don't know this. I just don't know this. Well, you ain't going to. You just confessed you won't, so you ain't going to get it. Just forget it. You said you weren't gonna, and your mouth's coming to pass. See, no, I'll get a hold of it, you know. I don't care if my flesh is loud as crazy. I'll still say, you know, pray. I'm gonna get a hold of it. God will show me. I'll tell you what, I've had more supernatural experiences under severe conditions. It is one thing, it's because I always talk that I would. I don't talk any different. God will always show me. I need help. He'll be there. Amen. I need help. He's there. See, you gotta get that within yourself. He doesn't move because it's brilliant. He fulfills his word. He's a God of his word. You don't get any better than that. A God of his word. And for you, you're his child. It doesn't change for somebody else. See yourself in the light of what you really are. See yourself in the glory of what God made you. And talk it. No, don't run around saying in front of everybody else. They'll all think you're crazy, but they think you're crazy anyhow. But you know, talk about yourself in a manner. Say about yourself being led of the Spirit. Talk about yourself being a spiritual person and not carnal. It's amazing what it will do for, I'm serious, it'll do for, I've seen it over the years of the things that I've been able to pick up over the years. I could sit here and tell you story after story after story. People heading in the wrong direction, and I know. Just inside of me, I just know. Something isn't right to do. Something, or no, don't do that, do this. I just know it on the inside of me. I just know it. I've had over out of the years, other ministers, friends and all this stuff, doing things and getting, and I just inside of me, no, stay out of that. And I've seen what come up out of the thing. You just learn over time. You don't hit it all the time. There's hits and misses. Sometimes you miss it. Get over yourself. Don't sit and lay down and whine for 2 weeks because you blew it. Don't do it for 3 weeks. For some people, you know, just whine for a month. It doesn't matter. You get back up. Wipe your knees off. Get the whine out of your voice. Praise God. I've fallen so many times, dear Lord. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. But you know what? I don't look back on the fallen. I don't preach the fallen. Nobody gets success preaching the fallen. You get what to do after you fall will bring success. That's why these groups, they're going to meet all the time. We're going to get these groups together and we're going to have these talks. And, you know, they had something bad happen in their life. So everybody has this certain thing bad happen. Then you meet for weeks and weeks and weeks and talk about the bad you had. And you do that. Well, you'll be 10 years later doing the same thing. You'll still be whining about the same problem. You'll never get over it. I feel so sorry. These people have like somebody in the family member die. 10 years later, you'd think the person died yesterday. Christians. Why? Unspiritual. Don't know God. Don't know how God. And it isn't because they're born of God. Their spirit's following God. Their spirit wants to bless them. Their own spirit wants to bring comfort to them. The Holy Spirit's in there. The Comforter lives in there. But they can't get it because all of it's focused on the natural. That person was God in their life. That person was the one that we worship. They're my existence. People lose that. You can't go on with that stuff. Years ago, you didn't have those kind. When I was a kid growing up, you didn't have that kind of stuff. The psychological church bought all that. The psychological church bought all this inner healing. My inner man never needs healing. He don't need healing. He's born again. He never need inner. He's renewed day by day. How could he need inner healing if he's renewed day by day? Give me that one. My flaky mind needs fixed, but I don't need no inner healing. We need to get out of this. We got so much stuff set out here in Christianity. And Christians, you can't succeed. You need inner healing. The hurts in people's lives are because they don't walk in the Spirit. They don't forgive. They hold things. They do this. They do that. They get out of all this stuff. They get out in the natural. And they say, you need, like, something's wrong with my inner man. There's nothing wrong with your inner man. We live by the flesh and we're taught to live by the flesh. We want to have better people, but we want to live with the flesh. I'll tell you what, God did a miracle in you. You got born again. Amen. You're a miraculous thing in the earth. There is no other group in the earth that is like the church. There's no one out there. None of the other ones are God's kids. I don't care what anybody else says about it. I done read the book. I ain't going another place. You're God's kids. You're renewed every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you today for the life. Hallelujah. These are your children. They're children of life and light. Hallelujah. They're full of your light, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, just as Jesus, the light shone out in darkness, Lord God, they're the light in this world today. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, they're the lamp that sits on the hill in the name of Jesus, full of light and life. I thank you, Father God, that you're working in them mightily in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that their spirit, hallelujah, they're born of God. They're children of God. God's life is working mightily in them today. And Father, I thank you. The fulfillment of Jesus' word is working in them, that his sheep know his voice. Hallelujah. And they don't follow another way. I thank you, Father God, you took that old heart out of them. That heart, Lord God, that was bound by sin, and you threw it away and you gave them a new one. And I want to thank you, Lord God, they got life just like Jesus has life. Father, just like you have. They have what the Bible calls, Lord God, Zoe, the life of God working in them. And I thank you that that life is working mightily, and every day that life is renewed in them day to day. That light isn't getting any dimmer. It's getting brighter. Hallelujah. Brighter, brighter and brighter. And I thank you, Father God. Father, they're not going to walk in darkness. They're going to walk in the light. Hallelujah. Father, they're going to develop, Lord God, that they'll know your spirit. They'll know, Lord God, that they'll be led by that inward witness in them, that it'll become so normal to them and normal in their life. Hallelujah. Father God, that it'll bring such blessings. blessing to them. Father, in the name of Jesus and Holy Spirit, you're the great teacher and you're right there on the inside. You're instructing and guiding them. You ain't quit. You haven't turned off. You're still in there working. Hallelujah. Bringing to remembrance all the things that Jesus has said that they've been taught and understand. And Lord God, I want to thank you that they will walk in it. They will live in it. Hallelujah. Because they're your children. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that they can look for the future with great joy, knowing that when Jesus comes, they're going to depart to be with him. Hallelujah. Father God, that they will have the fullness of their redemption. Father, they're going to be a great blessing before they leave. Hallelujah. Lord God, that the light that's in them is going to shine forth greatly in this day and time. Hallelujah. We're not going to get fearful. Lord God, we're just going to keep telling people about the light and the life of God. Hallelujah. That's working in us. Lord, we're not trying to get it. We got it. Hallelujah. And it's working mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.